America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Yes, indeed. Here we are again with the Guy James Show. Welcome. So glad to have all of you along with us this afternoon. And thank you for tuning in. We're going to try and have a great show for you. I know we're going to have a great show for you today. Number one, we're going to have Greg Palast on with us today to talk about his brand new book, and what a book it is, called Armed Madhouse. And you will enjoy the interview with Greg. Always say a good interview, a great investigative reporter, and just a fine writer as well. So that's coming up around 3:30. We're going to have Greg on, and let me see, any other guests? No more guests today. We've got some guests scheduled for the rest of the week, but we'll get to that in a little while. We'll talk about those. Many, many things in the news today. I was very, very sad to hear about the passing of Senator Lloyd Benson. He's someone that's kind of a friend of the family, and he's up there in years. He's in his 80s, and but a fine, fine gentleman, a great senator, a terrific man. You'll never meet a more warm and cordial man than Lloyd Benson, and I think he provided us, if you'll indulge me for a moment, I think he provided us with what I consider to be the greatest moment ever in any of the presidential, vice presidential debates, and I think you all know what I'm talking about, and I'm just going to play it for you.
In this country, I have as much experience in the Congress as Jack Kennedy did when he sought the presidency. I will be prepared to deal with the people in the Bush administration if that unfortunate event would ever occur.
Senator Benson.
Senator, I served with Jack Kennedy. I knew Jack Kennedy. Jack Kennedy was a friend of mine. Senator, you're no Jack Kennedy.
Oh man, Senator Lloyd Benson will be forever remembered about all the good deeds he's done on this earth and what a great statesman he was, but he'll always be remembered for that remark against Mr. Dan Quayle, who looked like a little boy up on the stage with a real man, and that's turns out that's exactly what it was, a little boy up against a man. But still, we lost that election, but what a great, great moment, and I just had to pay tribute to Lloyd Benson with that today. He just was a heck of a guy. There's just no way around it. Many things that we could talk about today. I see that the Republicans are going to make a big deal out of our Louisiana congressman getting busted for having all that money in his freezer and all that. And if he's guilty of that, why, hey, fine. I don't care if it's Republican, Democrat, whatever. But they're, you know, the funny thing is, like on CNN and all the news agencies, they're mentioning all the Democrats that ever had problems. But for the most part, failing to mention about all the people that are having, shall we say, difficulties right now within the Republican Party. Very, very interesting that they would take that particular slant on that, I think. And, of course, we've got the deal going on down at Gitmo. Now, I see that Condi Rice said it would be in our interest to close Gitmo. And yet, they just added on a $30 million state-of-the-art detention facility there. Interesting. Yeah, that's what she said. No one would like to shut down Guantanamo more than this administration. She said that just a few days ago on Meet the Press. So anyway, it's here to stay. There have been people in there who have been completely innocent of any crimes. There are people in there now. Out of 300 detainees in Gitmo right now, only 10 have been charged with war crimes by a military tribunal, and about two others will be similarly tried. The others have no idea when they might be charged. If they be charged, they're being held indefinitely, so they could be there for a long, long time. How would you like to be in prison, not guilty of anything, and have no idea when you're going to get out, if you're ever going to be heard again, if you're ever going to have a lawyer, anything? How would you like to be in that situation? Oh, man, I can think of better deals than that to have going on for you. Also, wouldn't you know, isn't it something how the same names keep coming up again and again and again? I don't know if you want to call this a scandal. It is, in my mind, a scandal. It's morally reprehensible, is what I would say, what I'm about to tell you. And some of you know this story, and some of you don't. For Donald Rumsfeld, all I have to do is mention his name, and many of you start thinking negative thoughts, I know. But we now have a story that Donald Rumsfeld has been making tons of money off of this Tamiflu that, the government's been scaring hell out of everybody about this bird flu that we may or may not have. Who knows? And so the government has stockpiled $2 billion worth of Tamiflu. And this drug was developed a decade ago by a company called Gilead, of which Rumsfeld was the CEO. Well, I'll be darned. What a coincidence. The company then transferred all marketing and sales rights to the Roche company. And earlier, the current Secretary of Defense successfully marketed aspartame, a suspected carcinogen, in NutraSweet, on which he earned some $10 million. Before that, he exploited scare tactics on the swine flu to the extent that President Ford ordered massive inoculations in 1976. And when 50 people died from the drug, its administration was suspended, but not before Mr. Rumsfeld pocketed an estimated $5 million. Isn't it interesting? Isn't it interesting that Donnie Rumsfeld's name comes up again on this? And, you know, there's a lot more to this Tamiflu story and this bird flu story. This bird flu was discovered in Vietnam about 9 years ago, and there's been right around 100 people die in the entire world of it. Tamiflu. Any of you had Tamiflu? I have. I had it for the flu 3 or 4 years ago. It did nothing for me. Nothing. Zero. No, nothing whatsoever. And it was very expensive, $50 or $60, I think. And so it is well known that Tamiflu barely alleviates some of the symptoms of common flu. Its effects against bird flu is hardly known. And, well, it's just interesting. It's just very interesting. 90% of the world's production of this tree, it comes from the anise tree, anise seed, from the anise tree. Okay. Crushed anise seed, the base of it. I did not know that. And the sales of it were $254 million in 2004 and more than $1 billion in 2005. And they're going to earn a lot more here. But Donnie Rumsfeld, those names, you ever notice how they just keep circulating around and around and around, some of these names do? Interesting. And we got a little note today that K Street, the beloved K Street, has donated $103 million since 1998. $103 million from the lobbyists and their PACs to the campaign members of the United States Congress since 1998. $103 million. Are our legislators bought and paid for or not? You be the judge. My, oh my, oh my. What else do we have on the agenda today? I did mention that I don't understand. I got a flood of email yesterday and last night and even this morning yet from podcast people and archive people about yesterday's program. And I wondered what it is about yesterday's program that caused this huge influx of email. Interesting. Very interesting. I don't know why it is, but I appreciate it very, very much. I'm glad to have so many of you listening. I did read where Dick DeVos is, of course, he's running against Jennifer Granholm up in Michigan. And he, you know, he's one of the family of Amway, the Amway family. And he's going to revive the Michigan economy, he says. I wonder if he's going to revive all those people that he scammed a lot of money out of. I'm just asking. I'm just saying. I just wondered. And I was reading today that the new legislators, the newly elected folks over in Iraq, are saying that corruption is a problem. It's a big problem over there. So I guess they really do have American-style democracy there. Very interesting. And also, I'm detecting a sort of national sense of paranoia. I wonder how many of you now worry about your email and your phones and so forth. I wonder if you do. And if you do, send me an email and let me know. I would really like to know that. Are you concerned and why? And are you concerned about your email and why? Interesting situation comes up there. It really does. I see Ann Coulter has said on her website, I am told, I didn't see this myself, taking someone's word for it, said that she would clean apartments for under-the-table money. You know, she's joking about the Hispanic folks coming over here and getting paid under the table. She said how she'd clean apartments if she got paid under the table. Now, I imagine Ann Coulter has been paid under the table before, but not for cleaning apartments, if you know what I'm getting at, and I know at least a couple of you do. All right, enough said about that, our dear friend Ann Coulter. And have any of you heard anything? I'm just starting to get rumblings about this. There's a website, www.advantage-security.com, out of Mexico City. It is starting to be rumored that instead of National Guard, Bush is thinking about hiring a private security firm out of Mexico City to guard our border. Now, I don't know what kind of truth there is to that. I would really love to know if there's any truth to it at all. It sounds a bit strange to me, but this administration does quite a few very, very strange things. And in reading the papers last night and trying to catch up on a little bit of reading, I found it interesting about all this spying on the reporters that's taking place now. And I read all these stories and about how they're going to bug their phones and I don't know what all they're going to do with them. But I've got notice for all you drug kingpins. You can relax. and you would be terrorists and rapists and bank robbers and what? Who else? Identity thieves and any other major criminals. Take a break. Go on over and sit down by the pool for a couple of days, right out in the open, have a cold beer. You see, the United States Department of Justice has bigger fish to fry, much bigger fish. And the thing is, they know where these fish are. They don't even have to go looking for them like they have to, you know, go looking for you hardened criminals. No, sir, these new criminals that they're after are merely sitting behind desks in big office buildings, writing stories on their computer screens. And they'll be very easy to find. I mean, they even sign these articles so you know where to find them. And when Mr. Alberto Gonzalez gets his hand on them, he'll probably try them for treason, and we'll have ourselves a good old hanging on the Capitol steps. Junior Bush has a whole bunch of guys in his administration that should be taking up the time of Gonzalez and his boys, but you see, Junior doesn't want his guys to wear those striped suits and have girlfriends named Bubba. Although I think a couple of them might enjoy that part since they were good pals with Jeff Gannon, but that's another story for another day. But really, Junior Bush doesn't want his boys to go to prison, but he sure would like to see the guys who outed him put behind bars. All of the Bush's boys will probably get pardoned. They'll get pardoned, they will. But the reporters who wrote the stories telling about their lies and illegal activities most likely will max out their sentences. You see, along with the Constitution, I believe Bush would like to get rid of that pesky First Amendment. And you've all read that First Amendment. I got a copy of it right here. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or of the right of people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. That is really in the way of this administration. It really is, and it causes him a lot of trouble, and he sees no reason to allow any more of this messy freedom of the press stuff. After all those guys do is write stories that cause Junior and his boys a lot of trouble, and why suffer through that when you can send these keyboard geeks to jail? Out of sight, out of mind. And the really good part of doing that is that Junior won't have to worry anymore about the press he hates so much. After a few of them are cooling their heels in Leavenworth, the rest of them will be just compliant little lambs. All except for Helen Thomas, and they can just call her boss and have her fired. That'll be very, very simple. And the journalism school departments at the universities, think of all that extra classroom space that'll be available for worthwhile studies like the history of the KGB and the life and times of our beloved J. Edgar Hoover. Studies like that. You see, these reporters aren't all that smart after all. They figured that after Woodward and Bernstein broke the Watergate story, they would have a free ride forever and ever. Well, guess again, Jimmy Olsen. Nixon was just a beginner. It's true he was the pioneer in stifling the press with dirty tricks, but in reality he was a real neophyte compared to these guys. You know, Bush, on the other hand, means business. He's playing a deadly serious game, and he intends to stack the deck in his favor. You can't get beat if you take the opposition off the playing field, and that's exactly what he intends to do, and the wheels are in motion. The guys over at ABC and CNN already know their cell phones are being monitored. Think about the ramifications of that. Instead of calling their sources, they'll have to visit them in person. And if that's the case, there's the distinct possibility they'll be tailed by government agents so that the feds can find out who the sources are and shut them up, too. You know, some of the things you wonder is, shut them up in what manner? And I do wonder about that. I guess with this Bush gang, anything is possible. And knowing that their calls are being monitored or that they're being followed, will any sources be willing to take the chance to talk to any reporters again? Probably not. So far, we've heard ABC, CNN, and New York Times, and the Washington Post are the ones under scrutiny. And I guess if reporters are smart, they'll start using pay phones, just carry a few rolls of quarter in a backpack and set up office in the street corner phone booth. But, of course, it'll only be a matter of time before Bush's thugs had every pay phone in Washington and New York traced as well. That'd be an easy thing to do. I think everybody's figured out by now that the Bush crime family is playing for keeps. And anyone in the media who says or reports anything the Bushes don't like are liable to end up doing time in prison or maybe be found face down in the nearest body of water to their offices or broadcast studios. When you own the government, there are ways to shut people up. And Bush and his people are willing and fully capable of using any means necessary. You know that. We all know that. Any means necessary is something that'll work just fine for the Bush administration. 866-546-5254. We'd be happy to have you give us a call today. Let us know what you think about these subjects. We really would. I got a little list around here someplace. Ah, here it is. Some folks that wrote the show, and I just want to mention some names. Everybody likes to hear their names, so I'm just going to mention a few names. I'm sorry, I don't want to slight anybody. I won't have time to do them all today, but hi, Guy, I love your show, and I missed it greatly while you were off the air. However, now that you're back, I get to listen to you 5 days a week. I live in Lowell, Massachusetts, and I listen to you via internet at the White Rose Society. Thanks for your show, Martha McLaughlin. And here's an email from a late podcaster. God bless you, Guy James, Daniel Lieb, Durham, North Carolina. Of course, we hear from Mike DeAngelis in California, Barbara Santee. Andrew from Moore Park, California. Andrew, thank you for writing a nice letter from Andrew. He's a student out there. Aisha, I'm not sure where you live. I think it's Arkansas, but I'm not sure. But we're happy to have you listening every day. The Ostojic family in Cape Coral, Florida, and Rick Allen over in Cape Coral, Florida. Ivan Steenson in Norway, and Bruce Kaufman in California. The Bermans in Palm Beach, Florida, and the Colonel, and Kitty Chinnere in North Carolina. And, of course, our good friend Pamela Strandquist in Montana. And Elaine and Virginia Miller in Newton, Iowa. John Ledwidge in France. Tim in Michigan. Meg Middleton from New Hampshire. And Ron Pires from Lake Worth, Florida. Mike Jones from Austintown, Ohio. Eileen Davenport from Forest, Ohio. Patrick Stanke from Germany. Sven Marth from Oslo, Norway. Garrett Oberman from London. Beatrice Harkin from Manchester, England. Thomas Stanton from Sydney, Australia. Professor Leonard Perkins from Seoul, South Korea. Adam Edmondson from Christchurch, New Zealand. And Jay Messanella from Amsterdam. Now, that's just a partial list of folks we've gotten email from here in the past couple of days. And I just wanted to mention their names. Awfully nice of you to write. We appreciate it very much. And we try and answer as many of those as we have time for. Don't always have all the time we'd like, but... Anyway, there you have it. Those are some of our good friends. We've got Greg Palast coming up in, just a very, very few minutes. You know, I was thinking the other day all this mess we've been having over the border thing, boiled up all of a sudden. We all know what that's about. It's politics. And I think I finally figured out why all of a sudden, in the last couple of months, our government's gone over the cliff on this illegal immigration issue. And really, I'm not kidding. I've uncovered this sinister, undercover, dastardly plan by the Mexicans to ruin this country so they can take it for themselves. I looked at everything that's happened around us, did a little investigating for myself, and here's what I've come up with. First of all, and keep this to yourselves, completely unknown to almost all Americans, the Mexicans own the pharmaceutical corporations lock, stock, and barrel. It's those Mexicans who are forcing our elderly people to choose between food and medicine. And then I found out that the Mexicans have infiltrated corporate America and are the ones behind the push to do away with our pensions and our health benefits. And what came as a real shock to me, I found out these Mexicans who've been picking our crops and building our homes, these Mexicans have secretly bought out General Motors, Delphi, Coca-Cola, Kentucky Fried Chicken, and a whole bunch of other American companies and plan to ship them all to China and just a few of them across the border across the Rio Grande to Mexico. And those people you're talking to when you call for information about your bank account or your problems with your computer, those people aren't Indians. They're Mexicans. They've been taught to speak with an Indian accent. These people are far, far more clever than you ever gave them credit for. And the global warming issue, it's purely Mexican. That's right, Mexican in origin, the whole global warming issue. Mexico City, actually, all the smog from Mexico City stays in one big blob, and it rises up into the air and pollutes the air all over the world. And acts as a big magnifying glass, which is heating up the oceans and warming this place up. And you see, the Mexicans would like it to be a little warmer here, so they came up with that plan to get the temperature just right before taking over. Didn't you people in Wisconsin ever figure out why you smell tacos at 2 in the afternoon? It's that cloud. Kenny Lay? Mexican. Jack Abramoff? Mexican. Actually, his name is Jack Sanchez Abramoff. It's on his mother's side. His father was a grill cook and a part-time rabbi down in Tijuana. And then Duke Cunningham, Mexican. Duke Ortiz Cunningham, his great-uncle, fought with Pancho Villa. Actually flew the first Mexican fighter plane. How about Carl Alvarez Rove or Dick Escobar Cheney or Tom De La Hoya? And this NSA phone company spying scandal? Who are many of the guys working on your phone lines nowadays? You got it. Mexicans. And here's the real kicker. I've looked over the list of our people killed in Iraq, and I found quite a few Mexican names on that list. I knew it all along. It was those Mexicans who started that Iraq war. And as for George Bush acting so stupid all the time, don't forget, he was governor of a big state with lots of Mexicans. You see, this immigration thing really is a big deal. We got to stop these people before we're the ones picking the oranges and the lettuce and the tomatoes and the string beans and, heaven forbid, mowing lawns. I knew it. I knew this all along. It never was Saddam or Bin Laden or the Chinese. No, sir. It was those Mexicans all along. It really was. Hey, we're going to take a short break, and hope you'll take that in the spirit it was intended. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be back in just a minute or two, so don't go anywhere.
It's a lie. If it's not fair and people die, we should have known better, but we got in too deep. We should have known better, but we let it all go. We should have known better, but we walk in our sleep. Are we never to remember the mistakes we repeat? What we sow is what we reap. Somebody tell me it's over, and this is only a dream. Somebody tell me it's over, things aren't as bad as they seem. What do you say to the families, the children left?
You take that day in September, tear us apart at the seams. Somebody tell me it's over.
Oh, yeah, it's over, all right. We're waiting on Greg Palast. He's in a cab on his way to the studio right now, so we'll just we'll wait a couple of minutes on Greg. You know how he's in New York, and we know how that can be. So we'll delay that just a minute or two until we get a hold of Greg, and we'll promise you we've got that coming right up pretty soon. Let me see. We're getting emails in from folks. I asked them to email about phone concerns. Guy, I have always believed they were spying on us. I was aware of Echelon, and I knew what NSA was all about. Of course, my VA-appointed shrink told me I was delusional about the government simply because I maintain they have never been honest with the American people in my lifetime. These recent revelations have made a lot of folks realize that I may not be as deranged as they initially thought. Well, let's see. This is said, there's no way they will cede power willingly. I pray that I'm wrong. We will see in 972 days when he's actually keeping track of the days. Alan, thank you. Thank you for that. Let me see. Somebody else here. We've got a guy. I feel that all my electronic communications are tapped. That, of course, is a complete violation of the law. I hope that once all this information is crunched, Bushko we'll see just how much the American public and the world despise him. For the record, NSA, President Bush is an idiot, and he should be given a lollipop and sent back to Crawford to play with blocks. Sincerely, Larry. Good one, Larry. I like the lollipop deal. That's pretty doggone good. Yeah. That's pretty good. I like that. And as the new Zogby poll out, 70 million Americans, adults, by the way, support a new 9/11 investigation. I'd like to have a new one and see. Interesting. 70 million people, estimated, Zogby says, would like to. Don't believe the findings of the Bush administration and the 9/11 commission that we had about 9/11. So what do you think? Do you think there are things yet to be found out about 9/11? I certainly do. I most certainly do. I have a hard time thinking that we know everything there is to know about it. I really believe there have been many, many things hidden from us. I'm absolutely sure of that. Hey, I found a great website I'd like you all to check out. I'm going to have a little audio cut on in the second hour of the program, but it's from a guy named Josh Millard. And Josh is editor-in-chief of a place called the Aural Times. And I think you want to check this out. Those of you that like something really different, Aural, A-U-R-A-L, AURALtimes.com, AURALtimes.com. And I think you'll find that site very entertaining and very interesting as well. I'm going to use one of his little pieces a little later on in the program today, and I promised him I'd mention it, so there I did. I did mention it, and they actually go on there and they find an interesting news segment and they sing it. And it can be pretty interesting, believe me, it really can. Saw an interesting story about the folks over at Fannie Mae. Now, I know this is hard to believe, but the Fannie Mae outfit is now saying that in the 90s, all during the 90s, the executives at Fannie Mae inflated their figures, their profit figures in the 90s, so that the executives could get higher bonus. No. I can't believe any of these CEOs would do that. Inflate their figures so they could get higher bonuses. And, amazing, absolutely amazing that anybody would actually think about doing that. And the Republicans, it's all over the news wherever you look right now, especially inside the Beltway. Something that's being talked about a lot is if you're running for office and you're a Republican, the White House phone is not ringing. Do not come near my campaign, Junior Bush. Don't mention me. Don't offer me any congratulations. Don't offer me any good wishes. Don't send your mother. especially don't send her. But do not, just do me a favor, Junior Bush, and do not mention that you have any affiliation with me whatsoever. That's what they want. Just stay away. So they know. The Republican congressional members know that are running for office. The Republican senators know that are running for office. They know that they've got a serious problem on their hands, and they're going to have to deal with it, and they're just going to have to keep him away. I mean, that's just all there is to it. Nobody wants anything to do with him. So isn't that something? You're the President of the United States, and you're a pariah. Just absolutely a pariah. Absolutely amazing that someone would... hard to believe. Oh, and I got a letter from one of our Republican friends. You remember a while back we talked about this website? What was it called? ShellyTheRepublican.com? Well, we got another letter from ShellyTheRepublican.com. Mr. James, I listen to your show as often as I can. Not because I particularly like it, but because I think it's important that somebody is keeping a close eye on your seditious activities. Don't get me wrong. I actually think that under all that hate for America and the American citizens, there might be a nice guy hidden. Well, now, see, isn't that nice right there? That's very nice. Why do you hate America so much? Why do you hate freedom? I would like to attempt to educate you. Maybe it helps. Who knows? Listening to your radio show and other ultra-left-wing shows, I wonder who those are, I feel that you and your kind are terrified about the alleged domestic spying. Why is that? I've given a lot of thought, and this is what I came up with. Do you remember back in the good old school days, on days that you forgot to do your homework and the teacher forgot to ask for them? That is the feeling liberals must have during Clinton's failed presidency, because you all have something to hide. Good students don't have anything to hide and don't mind the teacher asking for homework. Well, I'm going to... This letter, it goes on for some time, and I'm going to have to finish it a little later. My apologies to Shelley. Because I think maybe right now, do we have Greg on the phone?
Yes, we do.
All right, very good, Greg. Well, you must have been stuck in traffic in New York City.
Oh, yeah. Well, what can you do? You know, you try to shoot your way out, and it just leaves blood on the highway.
No point. Been there, done that in New York City, and I sometimes wonder if just taking a bicycle in town wouldn't be better.
Actually, that's what I do normally do.
Really?
But someone literally stole my bicycle last week. I was trying to do my bit.
Oh, well. You know?
Okay.
Greg, it's a
okay.
pleasure to have you with us this afternoon. It really is. Got your book a couple of weeks ago, and have read it cover to cover, and I sure it got to be selling well.
What's happening is it is amazing because it's a bestseller, but it's not out because technically it doesn't actually ship till for a week or so. But you know, our madhouse has climbed to the top of Amazon.com, and of course you can get it through my website www.gregpalace.com if you're, you know, in the mood for buying things. It's your, you know, it's a weapon, man. It's a class war out there. You better get some ammo.
I guess there's no guessing. It's self-explanatory as to what government you're talking about with armed madhouse.
Well, actually, it's interesting because I think there's it's not our government, but it is the government at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, that's for sure.
Well, true.
Whether it's ours or not is a different issue. As you'll see from the fourth chapter, the good thing about the American people is you got to steal their elections, you know. So at least we didn't elect these guys, you know.
Well, that's true. Our perhaps is the wrong word for that. Hey, you know, I've got a couple of things I've been dying to ask you, and I know you've been pretty much out of the loop, out of the media loop for the last couple of years while you've been working on this book.
Yeah.
Truthfully, were you working on the book all that time?
Well, actually, I was working undercover for the most part. You know, I do investigative reporting, for those who don't know Greg Palace, for BBC Television, which investigative reporting is illegal under Patriot Act 3 in the United States. So, but
yes.
I do undercover stuff. I go, like you'll see in the second chapter of the book about Big Oil, that I was able to get the inside documents from inside the State Department for the plans for the oil fields of Iraq, which is, you know, what it, you know, it's about the oil. And you actually, you know, if you thought they had a secret plan, I go and get it. But that takes a lot of work and, you know, a full team of people, including my assistant investigator, Elena, who, she speaks four languages and has about 11 phony accents, and she can choose among any combination thereof, and that doesn't hurt. And we have the inside documents from the Republican Party and how they did the little fix in the state of Florida again.
Yes.
Some of the creepy little things that went on in your state, and that will go on in 2008. Yeah, so it's like it's a lot of work. It's not just, you know, sitting there, jiving away on a blog. No offense to my blog friends, but it's real. It takes a lot of work to get these inside documents. And remember, I got a recipe from Southern India for terrific recipe for fish curry, which is in there. And at page 163, so, you know, that required some research.
I apologize. I'm not a fish curry guy. I'm not going to try that. No seafood for me. I'm weird. You actually traveled from Beijing to New Orleans to Caracas to Baghdad to and all of a sudden you throw New Mexico in there.
Yeah. Well, because, you know, look, for those in our madhouse, I do pick up the story that I began in The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, which is the last book. And that was a story about how the Jebster, your governor, and Catherine Harris, your sweetheart, wiped out tens of thousands of black folk off the voter rolls of Florida before the 2000 election. Now, that I reported, if you remember, in the British papers, British TV, and it only came out on your show and just kind of crept over the electronic Berlin Wall. But now no one doubts that story after 5 years later, they wiped out these black voters. But they thought, everyone said, okay, well, now it's all fixed. So, but, you know, everyone's looking in 2004 that the election would be shoplifted in Florida, and I was screaming Ohio.
Ohio.
And then now everyone's screaming, oh, Ohio. Well, next election, 2006, and watch 2008, The action's going to be in the West, in New Mexico. The shoplifting will be in New Mexico, in Nevada, in Arizona. I don't think they're going to be able to shoplift California, but that's where they're pulling votes from, because they're going after the Hispanic vote. And weirdly enough, the Native American vote is under attack. That's why all this surveillance, building up these big old lists, just like they used those big old lists to wipe out black voters in 2000, they're going to use the big old list to wipe out the Hispanic voters in New Mexico and elsewhere in 2008. Keep your, you know, well, you'll be having me back on the show when president, right?
I mean, here we've got people looking for this sort of thing, and it happens underneath our noses again, and I know they're going to try it again. I mean, not just the black box, but many other, you know, the
yeah, you know, you're right about that. See, the black box, everyone was like totally flipped about computer voting, which, of course, you know, I mean, you know, it was creepy, and I actually show evidence, like, of computer voting machines in New Mexico, where I did a lot of work, showing computer voting machines where the tapes, the readout tapes, had John Kerry's name expunged. Okay, so no vote because he was simply zapped off the tape. You go in and you punch a button for Kerry, that's all fine, but someone's got to record it, right? But that wasn't nothing compared to how they went after the vote. And in Florida, you'll see something in the book. I don't know if you saw caging lists. The Republican National Committee was sending and receiving from the Florida Republican Committee a bunch of lists, tens of thousands of voters, once again from majority African-American precincts, with one exception. About 98% of the people on the list are African-American. About 2% were Jewish voters in certain heavily Jewish retirement communities. And the purpose of these lists, these so-called caging lists, which are highly confidential, and we got our hands on them in the goofiest way. They sent them accidentally to a fake website, georgebush.org, instead of georgebush.com. Georgebush.org, we have a connection to, and it siphoned right into us. See? And so it's kind of fun. So we got these lists, and said, holy cow, because, see, this is what these lists were, caging lists, were challenge lists set up to go after voters whose addresses in Florida were supposedly suspect, you know, so they could challenge them. Well, it included hundreds and hundreds of African-American soldiers sent overseas. And by the way, it's not illegal for, you know, some poor schmo shivering under a Humvee in Fallujah. It's not against law for him to vote in his home state of Florida.
Right.
But it gave them enough ground to make a challenge, which, of course, is hard to undo, because once you're challenged, you get sent to something called a provisional ballot in Florida, and then they don't count it.
Mm.
And they did that nationwide, but Florida is where we discovered it. Florida is where they seem to really enjoy test driving these little tricks in Florida. Why is that?
Well, they've first of all got a bit of an advantage here with the you know, the relatives running the state. And secondly, I think somebody had it right one time. One of the reporters for the Miami Herald, I can't think of his name right now. He lives down the Keys somewhere. He told me, he said, you know, the way you have to think of it, Guy, is that if you could pick up the United States, a big map of the United States, and tilt it all one way, he said, all of the sludge eventually drains down through Florida. And I think he's got it right. I don't know.
Well, unfortunately, there's a lot of sludge all over. That's why I went to New Mexico and other places, so that you would see how they're going to be doing it everywhere. And that's just the election story. Then, you know, there's Iraq. There is, you know, the story of how they're going after our kids, which again originated in Florida with the Jebster. After all, George Bush's No Child Left Behind, which I call No Child Behind Left in the book, began in Florida with Brother Jeb. And are your kids getting smarter? Are you ready to compete against the math whizzes in India? I think not.
No.
I think what's happening is they're winnowing out the kids who are going to go with the Bush family to Yale. And the most of us who are going to be filling out those Humvees in Baghdad, they're not going to waste any money on your education anymore. I do the whole story there. You know, if you're a school teacher, I would like you to read that. It's about high-stakes testing. You'll know exactly what I'm talking about. And I go into the testing industrial complex. Jeb, by the way, and Brother Marvin are making big money off this testing business, and they're big money personally. And, you know, so I'm going to be in Tampa, by the way. On
The 24th, is it?
The 24th of June. So be there. I expect the teachers to pick up our madhouse. Read it. I will be taking attendance, and you will be graded on whether you got through No Child Behind Left.
Where's that going to be in Tampa? Do you know? Do you have that off hand?
I'll have to look that up for you.
I've got it someplace around here too, and if you don't find it, I will.
Okay. Maybe they'll leave some breadcrumbs out for me, so I should be able to find it in Tampa. Yeah, it's going to be at the University of Tampa.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, it's easy to find.
So if you want the information, go to gregpalast.com. That's GREGPALAST.com. It gets you the information on the June 24th, Saturday in Tampa. And you can also, by the way, I'm going to be putting up the real story of Ken Lay, which is also from the book, from our madhouse, when Arnold got laid, about the secret meeting between Ken Lay and the governor, Arnold Schwarzenegger, in the Peninsula Hotel, meeting secretly before the governor was put in office by these characters, and how the deal was cut to make sure that the people of California never had to give back the billion that Ken Lay and his buddies ripped off. It's a neat little story.
Oh, yes.
You'll enjoy it, especially because if you're wondering what happened to the Florida pension funds. You know that Florida had one of the pension funds had one of the biggest investments in Enron that went down the tubes of any state in America.
And you know that story
has anything to do with Ken Lay being the number one donor to the Bush family campaign.
Well, that story just disappeared off the papers in Florida. It just disappeared. It hit for one day and it was gone.
It doesn't disappear in our madhouse because I connect the rest of the dots with Mr. Lay. You get the real story, not the jivo that you're going to get this week about Ken Lay. I mean, the guy's being charged with not properly filing his SEC forms. This is like when Al Capone went up the river for not filing his taxes. You know, the guy was a cutthroat and a killer. Same with Lay. They're not going after the real crime.
Isn't that the same thing that they filed against Junior Bush one time with one of his companies that he didn't fill out his?
They never filed.
Ah.
They never brought the charges against Neil. And George W. See, George W. had stock in a company, Harkin Oil, and he quite brilliantly unloaded it just before it got in hot water.
Well, he's known for that.
Insider, because he was on the board. Now that normally is called insider trading. You generally go up the river for that. But see, Daddy happened to be president of the free world at the time.
Right.
And somehow, I'm not saying that there was any influence.
No, you're just
not. Somehow the guy was never charged.
Wow.
If you and I did that, we'd be breaking rocks in a chain gang, man.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, Greg, I've got to ask you a personal question.
Okay.
You must
answer it.
Well, I'm going to ask it anyway. You must be a really you must be on an even keel. I could not do what you do and find out the things you find out without just being livid all the time. I'm livid when I'm reading through your book, and fortunately, you throw enough humor in there to bring me back. But when you're out investigating these things, some of the things you find out, I'd be climbing the walls. How do you do it? How do you maintain your sanity?
I mean, I'll tell you the truth. What it is I used to be an investigator before I was an investigative reporter guy, and that did drive me crazy because I'd have all this information. Like, I was investigating Ken Lay, when the rest of the news media was still licking his loafers, that he was some type of Elvis on a pogo stick there, you know, the bringer of the free market in electricity. I hope you like your electric bills that you're paying in Florida Power and Light.
Oh, yeah.
And those guys are just, you know, shaking you down. And that's care of the Ken Lay Bush family operation with their so-called deregulation of electricity. Okay, I was following these evil guys, and I would just bang my head against the wall because I'd read the local papers, I'd read the New York Times, whatever, and you wouldn't see anything. You wouldn't see the real stories. But so I switched to just saying, I'm going to write the stories myself and film them myself. Now, it's true, they go on British television, but as long as you let me on the air as a couple of cracks in the electronic Berlin Wall out there, I don't go crazy because I have a place to just get the word out. I mean, you know, let's face it, it can be very frustrating because you say, you know, you're reading this garbage in the paper. You know, like after I did the story Kerry won, first for Tom Paine, now it's expanded in Armed Madhouse in the book, the New York Times called me and said, oh, we want to ask you about, you know, that evidence that George Bush stole the election. And I said, go ahead. And question one was, are you a conspiracy nut? You know, and question two, are you a sore loser? You know, and I said, okay, all right. And I refused to go with, you know, with that lie. That was it. No other question. Are you a conspiracy nut or a sore loser? The next day, they ran a front page story in the New York Times that said, theory of Bush loss spread by internet easily debunked.
Uh-huh.
So they got the official word. It was debunked.
Debunked.
And, you know, and in other words, they refer to BBC television, the premier news network on the planet, as, you know, internet. You know, it's like the spooky internet blogs out there, right? And you know, without, they didn't refuse to even look at the evidence. Oh, there's my assistant.
I've got an assistant as well.
Yeah, that's right. It's a very good cover. They never suspect the dog. Okay, anyway, what can I tell you? So that's what I'm saying. Yeah, and you're right about one thing. The other thing is, as you notice, I mean, I report on some of the grimmest stuff out there.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about secret plans for the war in Iraq. I mean, it's pretty grim stuff.
Yes,
I mean,
it is.
It's creepy. Some of these people just do dangerous stuff. I mean, I have George Bush's gold mines where they're literally digging bodies out. I mean, you know, if you want to read that story, gregpalace.com. You know, it's creepy. It's sad. And that's why I come up with these really, really bad jokes. So I try to mix the hardest investigative reporting with the worst jokes.
Well.
And that's why you get the shrimp curry recipe and the George Bush hydrogen rocket toy photo.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, you know, I have the picture in the book of the Iraq, the maps of Iraq and their oil fields that Dick Cheney reviewed with Ken Lay, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And oil company executives are right in there.
Well, I'm glad you do that because just about the time you, you know, someone like me, I get a little hot under the collar and I'll be reading the book and I'll be into it and I'll be ready to throw the book at the wall, and then you'll come up with something a little bit humorous and I go, okay, calm down.
So, we got to live to fight another day.
I know.
That's no joke. I mean, we have to get through this one. You and I, but I think part of the way of getting through it is if you know what's happening. See, if you have suspicion, you feel really uncomfortable. You know that something weird is happening, and they're not letting you in on it.
Right.
But when you read the stuff, in other words, like if you actually read these things, like the you actually look at the secret plans for the oil of Iraq, and you go, aha, and you feel, you know, you feel more powerful knowing what's going on than you do if all you hear is noises in the dark.
Absolutely. Greg, your website once again?
It's www.gregpalace.com. That's GREGPALAST. You kind of pre-order the book there if you want. We'll get it right out to you. It'll be otherwise all over the darn place. They can't stop it yet. And you can find out all the details of my June appearance in Florida. And actually watch on streaming videos some of these BBC television reports that are just too dangerous for your airwaves.
We'll keep after it with the appearance here in Florida. We've got all the info on it. You know, Greg, before you go, I just want to say one thing to you.
Sure.
I greatly admire your work, and I don't pander to people. I often get books in the mail that I read and go, Jesus, why would I want to talk to this person? But, Greg, when I think of investigative reporter, and I'm giving away my age, I think of Victor Reisel, I think of Jack Anderson, and I think of you.
Well, thank you.
Those are the three.
There was a profile done on me in some rock magazine, and I said, and they said, who is your guiding light? And I said, Jack Anderson. So now I've given away my age, too. They put in a rock magazine. I figured, I don't know if anyone will know who that is.
Well, I really did with Victor Reisel.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, when investigative reporting was respected. And see, look, guys, this is why you want to read this stuff, because it's kind of cool to get the insights. Or it is a real, because you know why? It's a real live detective story. I mean, Da Vinci Code is fun, but, you know, hey, I can make up ghost stories too.
Sure.
This is creepier and weirder because it's for real.
That's right. Hey, we got to run. It's the top of the hour. Greg, thank you so much for being with us today, and good luck with the book. You don't need good luck with that book. You're gonna sell tons of those books.
Yeah, but I need you, Guy, because you're the guy that gets it out there, and I want to see you in Tampa. Will you be able to make it on the 24th?
Let's see. What day? I have to look at my calendar, see what day that is, and I will do my best to do that. You can bet on that.
Okay, let's make sure we meet up.
Greg Pallas, thank you so much. Oh, I'll tell you what, there's a terrific guy right there. He's always a pleasure to have on the program. He's just a terrifically interesting guy. I mean, that's just all you can say about him. He's got a great sense of humor, as you can tell. And yet his serious side, I don't know. I had to ask him that question because I couldn't do what he does. I couldn't. First of all, he's got the patience of Job to track some of these stories. Secondly, when he does find out, if it was me, I'd be running out on the street corner going, hey, come here, look at this. And somehow he keeps it quiet and writes a book about it and does far more good than some idiot standing on the street corner yelling, hey, look at this. We're going to pause for the news right now. Don't you go anywhere, because I promise you I've got a really interesting hour coming up after this, all right?
Quality News Network. Amnesty International today condemned the United States as well as China and Russia for focusing on narrowly defined interests and diluting efforts to solve conflicts elsewhere, such as Sudan's Darfur region. Also in its annual report, Amnesty is calling for the closure of the detention facility at Guantanamo Bay. A leading virologist says sick poultry and infected people are more likely to bring the bird flu virus into this country than migratory birds. Robert Webster, the same. Next year. Israel's new Prime Minister Ehud Olmert has at the White House today for talks with President Bush, talks that come at a time when violence is escalating in Gaza City between Hamas security forces and Palestinian police. Meanwhile, the West Bank commander of the Hamas military wing, a man suspected of being the mastermind behind recent attacks that killed 78 Israelis, has been arrested by Israeli troops. The Veterans Administration says there is no evidence of identity theft so far connected to the disappearance of a government computer containing sensitive personal information about more than 26 million living U.S. veterans. The Senate has voted down a plan to allow the estimated 12 million illegal immigrants in this country to remain, work, and eventually become Americans. Some senators say they voted no to ensure survival of the broader immigration bill, which is expected to win Senate approval tomorrow or Thursday. The Senate Intelligence Committee votes today behind closed doors on the nomination of Admiral Michael Hayden to be the next director of the CIA. House leaders are questioning whether the FBI's weekend search of Congressman William Jefferson's House office may have overstepped constitutional boundaries. House Speaker Dennis Hastert says it's the first time the Justice Department has ever crossed a line that separates Congress from the executive branch. Jefferson is the target of an FBI bribery investigation. The city of New Orleans is testing new evacuation plans and emergency response strategies for the next 2 days in advance of this year's hurricane season, which begins on June 1st. A Turkish pilot has been rescued. A Greek pilot was killed after the two fighter jets collided in midair today over the southern Aegean Sea. Turkey and Greece disagree as to whether the Turkish jet had violated Greek airspace. In Iraq, at least 17 Iraqis were killed in attacks today, most of them in drive-by shootings in three provinces north of the capital. In addition, a car bomb targeting Iraqi police commandos in Baghdad killed five people, including police and civilians. And efforts to block Iran and North Korea's nuclear programs are the spotlight of talks today among ministers and officials from 28 Asian and Middle Eastern countries in Qatar. It's 2:30 past the hour.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
The Justice Department says more than 560 people have been arrested in an international investigation of mass marketing fraud schemes that have victimized more than 2.8 million people in the United States. The losses exceed $1 billion in scams that range from bogus sweepstakes offerings to phony pre-approved credit card deals. The schemes were carried out through telemarketing, mass mailings, and the Internet. Fannie Mae, the giant mortgage buyer, has been fined $400 million by the SEC as part of a settlement to resolve claims that executives manipulated earnings in the 1990s so they could receive bigger bonuses. Nike is getting in step with the iPod craze, a footwear giant announcing today it will sell a wireless device that will allow its line of shoes to work with Apple's popular music player. The $30 device will allow shoe wearers to store information about their workout on their iPod. In Houston, while jurors continue to deliberate in the conspiracy trial of Enron's Ken Lay and Jeffrey Skilling, Lay is back on trial for bank fraud in connection with $75 million in personal notes. And the Paris-based Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development says industrialized economies are growing at a 3.1% this year and warning that the U.S. may have to raise interest rates further, but that the European Central Bank should wait. Light sweet crude oil is trading at $71.35 a barrel. On Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 59 points, NASDAQ is higher by 17, and the S&P 500 is up 8. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Diana Walter. It's now 5 minutes past the hour.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Hey, thanks for coming back. Sometimes people, well, they go out for a beer during the news and, you know, then one beer leads to another and another. Next thing you know, got the rest of the afternoon. My listeners wouldn't do that. There's not a single one of my listeners would do that. Is there? Okay, one. All right. Hey, thanks for being with us this afternoon. So glad to have you all along with us. I always enjoy talking to Greg Palast. What a guy. I am going to try and get up to Tampa to see him. I would really like that. I've got that information around here. I promised him I'd get that out. And let me see here. I got to look. Just don't go anywhere. Talk amongst yourselves for a moment here. Okay, he'll be speaking in Tampa, Florida on June the 24th at 7 p.m. I've got a calendar, one of those desk calendars, but I've got it all covered up with everything. Can't find out when June the 24th is. But June the 24th at 7 p.m., and he's going to be at Tampa University. So that's not hard to find, and it's not all that far. It's a couple hours from here to get there, but worth it to go see Greg, really would. I've never really met him in person, been on the radio with him several times, but I'd love to meet him in person. Love to meet all of you in person. Didn't mean that. I mean, I didn't mean, you know, I didn't want to slight all of you. I'd like every last one of you. I'd love to meet, well, all except for you over there in the corner. But I'd like to meet all of our listeners. That would be interesting, I think. I often sit around and think about all these things that are going on in the news, and this NSA stuff has really got me jacked out of shape. It really does right now. And I know very many of you are feeling the same way about it as well. And it just, I can't explain it. And I know a lot of people are having trouble explaining their feelings about it. This comfortability factor. Knowing someone's probably going over your emails and listening to your phone calls. I don't know. I'm not, it's creepy. And what the really creepy part about it, the whole thing is we're suffering under a ruler. And I say ruler because it's obvious that he and his people they don't see themselves as an elected administration. Actually, they weren't elected, but rather as a group of elitists that have been ordained by God to rule over this land and her people. I do believe they see it that way, that they have this innate right, this inherent right that they were born with to rule over the rest of us. And you would never convince me that the Bush family doesn't feel that way. I know they do. Bush, and I don't care how you cut it, it's Bush himself, because it is he who ultimately gives the order. No matter if Dick Cheney's coerced him into doing it or not, it's Bush himself who gives the wave of his hand and makes it so. You know, Bush himself has killed tens of thousands of mostly women and children in Iraq and Afghanistan, and it's called collateral damage. That makes it better, doesn't it? And instead of showing the unrecognizable dismembered bodies on the news, it's better to just say that there was some collateral damage. It sounds so much better. And some of you listening to my voice right now are thinking, well, that's really sad, but it's war, and sometimes to achieve a noble goal, innocent people have to die. I can't argue that point. But in this point, in this particular case, there never was a noble goal. It was always about something other than what was told to the American people. It was never about regime change. It was never about giving the Iraqi people freedom so that they can have elections. It was never about stabilizing the Middle East. It was and it remains about American imperialism, plain and simple. It's the oil, and more oil, if not from just Iraq, then from Iran and every other Mideast country who's got a drop of the stuff. We, and by we, I mean our government, that want it. And we're going to get it if it means taking it by any means necessary. And so far, those necessary means have exacted an awful toll from the people of Iraq and this country. Far worse for them than for us. You know, these women and children who've been treated as collateral damage, they've all got friends and relatives who love them. Collateral damage is an indecent term to use when someone's, you know, some loved one's body's been blown to bits. Their body's having to be scraped up in order, you know, in pieces off of the sidewalk in order to find enough to even bury. It's indecent. And this war's been indecent from the very beginning. Those people are the casualties in Iraq in the Bush War. But in this country, the very first casualty on the American scene was the murder of the truth. And make no mistake about it, they murdered it in broad daylight. The greatest, most skillful, prolific liars in American history are the members of this Bush administration. This administration that the American people have bowed to in some sort of sick reverence because they were convinced that these people were honest and true and they shared the religious beliefs of millions of Americans, which state that one must not lie, cheat, or steal, or kill, and those who are the ones chosen to protect us from these lies have failed in their duty to inform us. When our leaders stray from the path of righteousness, the press, the media, they have failed miserably in their duty to the public. And I fear their failure has been for what I think is two of the very worst reasons there could be for them to shirk their duty. First of all, they have been and are being more than ever now intimidated by this administration. They've been intimidated into silence, and we're going to see more signs of that now. I say if you can't take the heat, get the hell out of the kitchen. Secondly, It's the money. Follow the money. The right has successfully taken over the bulk of the media in this nation, and let's face it, money talks. Even in today's newsrooms, money talks. Just a week ago, Donald Rumsfeld himself told the Senate Defense Appropriations Subcommittee that Iran was the culprit for the instability in Iraq. I saw that statement and my mouth dropped open. I couldn't believe it. But the senator's response? Disbelief? Anger? Laughing? None of the above. They simply sat there silently and sucked in what he said. Did this esteemed panel of senators believe Rumsfeld? I don't know whether they did or not, but they sat silently. And I don't know whether it was from fear or ignorance, either of those being a crime against the American people in my book. You know, in another time, perhaps an Edward R. Murrow would have spoken the truth to the American people that same evening on his program about what Rumsfeld had said. He would have stated that the reason there's instability in Iraq is because of some of the awful decisions that Rumsfeld and Bush and Cheney and this Pentagon have made in that poor country of defenseless people. Murrow, I think, would have had the courage to remind his listeners that it was our illegal invasion of a sovereign nation and the subsequent brutal occupation that's caused the instability. Murrow would have mentioned that the Iraqi people have knowledge of American torture of prisoners, many of them innocent. He would have told them that might be part of the problem. He would have mentioned that Blackwell Security and Halliburton and KBR and Bechtel and a host of other money-grubbing American companies came swooping in after our armed forces caused massive destruction, claiming to be rebuilding Iraq, when in fact they only put up a facade and shoveled the money out the back door home to the good old USA with the blessing of this administration. A real American newsman would have told that story. But today, you're not going to hear the truth. Not on the nightly news, not in the newspapers, not on the radio. Truth in the media has been conveniently hidden in another room like some crazy aunt you don't want the neighbors to see. Thank God for the internet. For now, at least. The internet is still free. And the average American citizen can hunt down the truth. They can have the necessary knowledge to know when their friendly nightly anchor man or woman is giving the truth or fluff. Those of us who frequent the internet have the advantage of being ignored by the mainstream media and, thank God, by the government, up till now, of course. I know most of you are all aware of the incident that took place at Yale. What was it, 2-3 weeks ago? Where NPR, of all groups, NPR, somebody that we used to be able to know and trust, that was before the Bush administration got a hold of NPR and worked their propaganda magic on it. NPR, just a short time ago, reported that a former Taliban leader was going to school at Yale. This Taliban, which was responsible for the deaths of 3,000 Americans on 9/11. This was reported on NPR. Taliban? 9/11? You know, the next thing you know, it'll be the French that they blame for 9/11. They've blamed everybody else, and the media will go along with that story, too. The big lie is that we never went into Afghanistan to get the Taliban. We used the Taliban as an excuse to go in there because the plan was, all along, to go into Iraq, and it would be convenient to have this run-up to war in the Mideast, get the troops over there, and then when the time was right, send him into Iraq. The disappointing, you know, the real disappointing part of all this is that a good share of the American people have been willing accomplices to this travesty. They went along with whatever Bush wanted to do because his propaganda machine was convincing. Very convincing. Especially if you're too lazy to go hunting for the truth. Or too stubborn to accept it. The whole thing was a lie. Iraq wasn't involved in 9/11, never would have been. But Bush used it, and he used it good. He hatched a plan to take all the power he could possibly grab and concentrate it in the White House. Ashcroft and Gonzales, both of these stooges, okayed anything Bush wanted to do. Made it perfectly legal, even though the bulk of the other American legal minds have protested one illegality after another. It's been nothing more than a power grab, and it's been done under the noses of every American, and most of them have remained absolutely silent about it. Because death hasn't come knocking on their door. The once proud American people have been reduced to being a bunch of bleeding sheep. We have proof that the Bush cabal has lied about every aspect of Bush's war in Iraq. We have the Downing Street memos, which document these lies. We've got proof that Bush and his people even went so far as to falsify intelligence and cherry-pick the rest. And yet we have near silence from the American people and the media. The Republican Party has turned into a party which will lie, cheat, and steal its way to power no matter what the consequences. They want the power, and they're going to keep it no matter what it takes. And the Democrats' role in this as the opposition party? Don't, let's not even go there. Don't make me laugh. It's time for the American people to face the truth about two very important issues that's going to affect this nation for many decades to come. Number one, we have lost the war in Iraq. Get that through your head. We have lost the war in Iraq. There is no winning it now. There never was a chance to win it because the very idea of it was a lie. We have lost this war. And the people of that part of the world will never again trust the United States of America. They have long memories, and who could blame them? The second issue the American people have to face is that some of the collateral damage of this so-called war on terror has been damaged to our Bill of Rights, our Constitution, and our very freedoms. That's been the collateral damage here in this country. You know, one can't help but think, if it was, in fact, bin Laden's intent to destroy the American way of life, not in his wildest dreams could he ever have dreamed to enjoy the success he's having right now. Never. Because his actions have given this government, this Bush government, all the excuse they needed. And I'm sad to say, the excuse they wanted in order to visit their terror upon our Constitution and our Bill of Rights and the people of this country. They set out to do it. I'm not sure they knew how they were going to get it done. They said they needed a Pearl Harbor event, and I guess in their way of thinking, they were lucky enough to get one. And if you doubt that, just think about Bush's trifecta joke. I think that makes it perfectly clear. Freud would have a ball with that one. They wanted something awful to happen. They needed it to happen. And it did. And in the process, it handed them the keys to the kingdom. It handed them everything they needed to run roughshod over the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and the people of this country and the legal system of this country. It gave them every excuse they needed to go in front of the American people and says it's legal because we say it is. Or it's illegal because we say it is. Either way. Has there been another government on this planet with the standing of the United States of America, willing to stand before the world stage now and say that our great rule of habeas corpus doesn't matter to these people that are in prison down in Gitmo? I don't know how you feel, and I am not in a position to know. I do know there have been innocent people in Gitmo that have been released. I do know there have been innocent people in Gitmo that have been transferred to other countries where they've been tortured and released when they found out that they've been innocent. We've all heard those stories. We've heard those personal accounts come from those people. We've all heard that. And I know there are a lot of bad people probably in Gitmo. But the idea that anybody in the United States of America is being held without a trial and without access to the legal system, not knowing when they will be charged, what they will be charged with, nothing but silence for what, 3 years now? Never thought I'd see the day. We've got Saddam Hussein on trial, for God's sake. Saddam Hussein. Does anybody remember the Nuremberg trials? Some of the most awful men that ever lived on the face of the earth at least got a fair trial on the world stage. Because it was law. It was the world law. It was the way things are done. It was the way things are done in free nations. And we put that on display for everybody in the world to see. Because we were free. And we did things right. And we wanted to show the rest of the world how doing things right actually looks. And so we had the Nuremberg trials along with other nations. Those weren't phony trials. They were real trials. Trying the likes of a Hermann Göring and people like that. Despicable animals. But they got a fair trial. They all got a fair trial. They had lawyers appointed to defend them even. Wouldn't you have liked that duty? But the point is here, no matter how dastardly, how evil these men were, according to the rules and regulations and laws of decency in this country, they were given a fair trial. And now we have an administration comes along and says, no, we don't abide by that way of thinking anymore. You see, we're the Bush administration. And we don't have to play by the rules everybody else is playing with. That's the disgusting part of all this. And they will, from the other side of the fence, from the conservatives, oh, you people, you must like these criminals. You want to protect these. No, not at all. I just want them to get what's coming to them, whatever it is. I want them to be tried. And I mostly want them to be tried not for their sake, but for our sake. So that we can hold our heads up high once again and say that this nation upholds the values of justice. That's why I want them tried. Don't you tell me that we love these criminals and we want to protect these terrorists. You hear that horse shit come from the right all the time. You hear it. No, we're not protecting them. We want them to have a trial to protect us. That's the reason for that. We're going to pause for a break right now. I'm going to play you this little ditty by Josh Millard that I told you I was going to. I think you'll find it interesting. And we'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
Welcome to the new American century. Yeah, welcome to the new American century. I wanna be just like my president. I wanna make more money than I can spend. I wanna build more bombs than I can send. Somewhere I can even spell the name of. Welcome to the new American century. Yeah, welcome to the new American century. I want a big, big Mac and double fries. I want to wave my American standards high. I want to fly my flag across your sky. Welcome to the new American century. Yeah, welcome to the new American century. Welcome to the new American century. Yeah, welcome to the new American century. Come all you black and Hispanic boys, we'll keep you poor so you got no choice but to join the army in your prime and fight for Uncle Sam and die. Welcome to the new American century. Yeah, welcome to the new American century. Welcome to the new American century. Yeah, welcome to the new American century.
Ah, yes, we're back. And thank you for coming back with us. And stop and get a little drink there and just get a little preachy now and then and need a drink of water afterwards. Actually, I don't feel it's preaching. I think it's a story that needs to be told, and it needs to be told over and over and over again. It needs to be told by a lot more people than myself, and it needs to be told to a lot bigger audience than we have right now. It needs to be told to all the people in this country so that they have a chance to consider what we've said. Because I think it's the truth. I know it's the truth, and it's heartfelt. And I don't think the American people are getting a fair shake from the press these days. I don't think they're hearing many things they need to hear, and I think it's a damn shame. I really do. My political hero, for one reason or another, is John F. Kennedy. I guess because I was young and impressionable, and the man made a very great impression upon me. And let's face it, he was one of the greatest speakers of all time in this country. And I was reading some words by Kennedy recently, and it breaks my heart when I come to a sentence where he said America would never start a war. John F. Kennedy said that, and up to that point, we never had started a war, and we didn't for quite a while after that. America had never started, would never start a war, said John Kennedy. And then we have this worthless piece of crap come along, sit in the White House and do what he's done to America and the world. It bothers me. And so, Al Gore comes out with a new movie called An Inconvenient Truth. And we all need to see it. And, of course, the right will stay away from it like it's the plague, you know, because global warming and all that just cannot be true. You know, it just can't be. And they have gone out and actually found three people in the whole world that don't believe in global warming. There may be more than that. Of course, there are. But the scientific community overwhelmingly, in overwhelming numbers, believe global warming is happening right in front of our eyes. And Bush was asked yesterday if he will watch former Vice President Al Gore's new movie on global warming, An Inconvenient Truth. And this very eloquent man, Junior Bush, said, doubt it. He went on to argue that we need to set aside whether or not greenhouse gases have been caused by mankind or because of natural effects. Now, first of all, oh, God, why do I even read this kind of stuff? It gets me started. First of all, that's the argument of a fool. There's no way around it that if talking about global warming and the greenhouse gases and all that, that if a man says, any man, scientist, I don't care if it was Albert Einstein, he said, set aside whether or not greenhouse gases have been caused by mankind or because of natural effects. That's the comment of an absolute friggin' idiot. I'm sorry, but there's no other way to put it. You know, his response attempts to cast doubt on the scientific consensus that global warming is caused by human activity. And he says, set it aside. Absolutely amazing. Amazing that a man would say that, an adult human being. Even if you don't agree that there's global warming, you don't set aside the evidence that there is. You study it, you examine it, and you use it. And if in the end you disagree with it, all right. Oh, God, if you knew how I feel toward this man. So Al Gore responds and says, why should we set aside the global scientific consensus? Is it because ExxonMobil wants us to set it aside? Why should we set aside the conclusion of scientists in the United States, including the National Academy of Sciences, and around the world, including the 11 most important national academies of science on the globe, and substitute for their view, the view of ExxonMobil? Why, says Al Gore, I'm a grandfather, and he's a father, and this should not be a political issue, Gore said. And he should ask the National Academy of Sciences whether or not human beings are contributing to global warming. Amen, Al. It troubles me more than you could know that Americans maybe even seeing Al Gore at his worst during his campaign, stood on the same stage with this moron, and there were supposedly intelligent thinking adults could pick this Bush for president over an Al Gore. I thought Al's statement was great. To be sure, it was measured. You know what Al was thinking, but he's more of a gentleman than I am. Because Al didn't call him a fool, and I just did. I'll say it. Bush is a fool. Not only a fool, but he's a greedy, ill-mannered, ignorant fool. Global warming is a fact. I won't even argue the point with anyone anymore because it would be absolutely pointless to do so with the massive amount of information we have pointing to an environmental catastrophe in the future if we don't at least not start now and at least try to prevent it. If you're on the phone, hang on a minute. I'll be with you. I got to finish this thought. You know, it might be too late, but for the sake of those following after us on this earth, we need to see if we can preserve as much of it as possible for them. Or we could be like Republicans and say to hell with it, use it up now, and let those born later worry about their own problems. That's the Republican way. Give us everything we can get right now and screw those coming after us. And if you don't believe this, all you have to do is look at the debt we're leaving them, the ones coming later, and the apparent lack of concern by most Republicans. Give us our tax cuts now while we borrow as much as we can from China and Japan and let the future American boys and girls pay the tab. Who cares? And who cares if they've got any air to breathe or any clean water to drink? They'll think of something. After all, we did, didn't we? That's the attitude of the Republican Party. Amazing, but true. Let's go to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hey, Guy, it's Dave.
Hi, Dave.
Destructive, evil, greedy, goon, incompetent, but dangerous. That's a word that I have to keep throwing in there, too, because doing so much harm to this country and to now most of it, wherever they can in the world, they spread their harm. For pure greed, as I see it. You are connecting dots that have to take you where it's taken me, and that is that they wanted their new Pearl Harbor, they needed their new Pearl Harbor, they spelled out that they would need a new Pearl Harbor, and they got their new Pearl Harbor. I just had learned the other day, and I think I shared it with you, that two more countries, so 40-some I think in all, Cuba and Venezuela, both learned that this was going to happen. Their intelligence brought it up. And both countries related immediately to the White House. And both got ignored. No response, no acknowledgement. So
it's like they had no intentions of picking up the phone and hearing any of that information. They turned a blind eye to everybody who gave them any inkling that was going to happen.
Right. I ask myself questions like, how could Bin Laden have kept the United States Air Force on the ground for an hour and a half while this was happening? How could he do that? How could he tie them up, entertain them with videos or whatever? He couldn't have done that. How could he have authorized planes to fly around the country picking up 160-some Arabs when everybody else was grounded? How could he do that? He couldn't. Yeah.
And the other question is, Dave, you ask how could Bin Laden have do that? Okay, let's say that he had nothing to do with it. How could the powers that be in the United States Air Force, for example, with our Air Force, how could they have been that stupid?
Well, they've been training for 40-some years for intercept of commercial flights that go off course that they fear are hijacked. And the planes today, they're in the air within less than 2 minutes, and they're coming at that plane at twice the speed of a rifle bullet. They'd have been intercepted, and they'd try to communicate with them, try to bring them down, but if it looked like they were going to do as much harm as they did, they would shoot the planes down.
The golfer, what's the golfer's name? Can't think
Shane
of it.
Stewart.
Yeah, how long did it take to scramble those planes? No time at all.
No. And, particularly with all the warnings that they had, knowing that this was happening, they planned that time to make sure their Air Force stayed on the ground. There is no way to tell me that these psychopaths didn't do that as well. I mean, if they're willing to go into foreign countries, kill a lot of people for their own profits, what would make you think they'd stop short of this? And the worst thing of everything for me is they've stolen our democracy. They're not elected people. They rigged the elections.
Yep, I agree. I agree. I They
nobody
absolutely
tells
have
it
done
as
that.
Well as you. As evil as they are, nobody tells it as well as you do. Stay with your efforts, brother.
Thank you. We're going to stay with it. As long as we can, anyway. Thanks for your call. You know all the great dictators in the world, and I say great dictators, all those that have been successful at stealing a government or whatever, have done so with fear. It's always fear. And not long ago, I read an article by Fred Barnes, and you all knew Fred Barnes on Fox News, and he wrote an article in the Weekly Standard, and he mentioned that Karl Rove needed to emphasize policies that appeal to Republicans and create strong fears of a Democratic takeover. Fear. Yes, sir. Fear. Fear. Finally. Someone in the Republican Party admits what their entire election strategy is based on. It's based on fear. Thank you, Fred. Thank you for personally vouching for what I've been saying for a lot of years. The Republican base their campaigns not on issues. They have none. They base their campaign on fear. Fear is what they use. They exploit their voters by appealing to their base instinct, and that base instinct is fear. You know, for the neocons like Rove and Barnes and Crystal and the like, fear. Fear is some sort of an aphrodisiac of the Republican voters. It sucks them in like moths to a flame. Like bugs to one of those zappers people have out on their porch. Fear is what drives Republicans to the polls in droves. They don't know diddly about the issues, but they do know what they've been told to be afraid of by their masters. Be afraid. Be very afraid, but not to worry. We, the neocon Republicans, we will save you. We will come to your rescue. We will help you escape those abortionists. We'll help you get rid of those godless demon Democrats and get them out of the schools. We'll help you keep those misguided homosexuals away from your homes, from knocking on your doors and turning your kids into gay hippies. Don't you worry. Don't you fear. We will help you. We will protect you from the enemy. Which enemy, you ask? Well, don't worry about it. We'll let you know who the enemy is and how they're planning to get you and your family. Did you hear those gays are cranking up their campaign again to get married? Don't worry, we'll protect you from that. We won't let them get married and ruin. Well, never mind. We won't let them ruin whatever it is of yours. Now, I know my Republican friends don't have a damn thing to go to the polls for this year. They really don't. Their legislators haven't kept a single promise to the average Republican voter for years. They haven't outlawed abortion like they said they would. They haven't kept those awful gays from getting married. And they haven't gotten the Supreme Court to let everybody pray in the schools. And they haven't got bin Laden. And they haven't straightened out Afghanistan. And they sure as hell haven't made any progress in Iraq. And come to think of it, they haven't done anything to improve the economy for the average guy either. And what about Junior Bush bragging about being in with the oil companies as an advantage for the American consumer when he's running for office? However, these neocon Republicans did preach fear, fear, fear to all of their voters as to how the Democrats would handle these issues. Did they not? Face it, that's how they got the evangelicals on their side. That's how they got the soccer moms to vote for them. That's how they got the majority of men to vote for them. Plain old fear. Fear is a strong emotion. In fact, for most people, fear is the strongest emotion. I've known people who were paralyzed by fear. It's an emotion that requires no thought. It just magically appears, especially when someone plants the seed in your mind that something awful is going to happen. Most people react to fear without even thinking. So if fear is what is driving the people who vote for you, what does that say about our political process? It says people are voting without any clear thinking about the issues, but rather allowing fear to push them toward a certain right-wing cause. Our elected officials are being installed in office by people who haven't really thought about those candidates' qualifications or views, but rather the voters have been driven by fear to put them in office. What a dishonest and dastardly thing to do. What an immoral, and an anti-American thing to do. Vote for us or Saddam and bin Laden will kill your kids. Vote for us or those gays will take over the country. Vote for us or the atheists will outlaw prayer altogether. Vote for us or the Democrats will take all of your money and give it to those welfare moms who drive new Cadillacs and eat filet mignon every day. Vote for us or the Democrats will take 75 cents out of every dollar you earn for taxes and they'll spend it on big government. It is really amazing to sit back and watch this whole process. These people who vote through fear are the same ones who, out of fear, vote for a Republican who promises to cut their taxes, and yet they're the first ones to complain about their local schools not having enough money to operate. That their kids aren't getting a decent education because the classes are too big. These people have been so conditioned by fear that they're willing to attack another country that they think maybe, might be thinking about doing something bad to America. These people vote the way they do because they've lost the ability to think about issues. They've allowed the right-wing hate machine to do their thinking for them. They've allowed Rush Limbaugh to educate them on the issues. They hear 15 minutes of Sean Hannity program and they think they've heard some facts, and nothing could be further from the truth. They just don't understand the issues, nor will they take the time to do so. But they do understand fear. The neocon Republicans have seen to it that their people fear taxes, terrorists, Iran, Hillary Clinton, the Democrats, and anyone who's not a good old-fashioned white Christian American. And especially, they've taught them to fear anyone who calls themselves Democrats. I have fear, too. I'm not immune from that oh-so-emotional issue. I am afraid the citizens of this country are paralyzed with fear. They're so paralyzed that they'll allow this administration to take some of their constitutional protections away from them without a fight because they're afraid. I believe the United States of America became the greatest nation in the history of the world because we were smart. Not any one group of us. Not the Irish, not the Germans, not the Greeks, not the Asians, not the Afro-Americans, not any of those who immigrated to this country, but all of us together. All of us together became the smartest, most industrious, most progressive, richest nation in the world. We had it made. We weren't afraid of anyone or anything. We were Americans, and we just weren't vulnerable to something called fear. But I want you to keep one thing in mind. Sooner or later, anyone who wants to have a totalitarian regime figures out that they can use fear to consolidate power. Every dictator who ever rose to power understood this basic fact. Bush's people understand it too. Oh, heaven help us. I want to thank John Ostojic from sending me some information about that Greg Palast appearance coming up June the 24th. Saturday, June 24th at 7 p.m. and at 9 p.m. It's a WMNF fundraiser, the Fletcher Lounge, University of Tampa campus. West Kennedy Boulevard, tickets $10 in advance, $12 at the door or online at WMNF.org. So take a look at that. And thank you, John. Thank you very much for sending that to me. I got the people in the peanut gallery today, and I think they wanted to say something.
Yes, I do. I am always astounded by your shows every day when I get to listen to them because I do have to go to work. And you are the voice of the people. And I want not only for the thousands of people that are listening to you now, there should be millions listening to you now because we need your voice. from the emails that we have received. Let me just quote you on a few. I won't mention names. It says, I hear you on my website. This is from Phoenix, Arizona. I hear you on my website, but tonight I'm listening via White Rose Society. You are very underrated, my friend. You deserve syndication and the pay that goes along with that. Just know that I am here in Goldwater Country, hanging on in every word you say, and happen to agree with 99.9%. This is from Phoenix, Arizona. A one from Europe and France. Listening is a pleasure because you project through the microphone sincerity and real passion. We are pleased to think that it is people like you who represent America, who are not herded like cretins by cynical politics pandering to fear and hate. These are just some of the emails that Guy James receives, and we need your support. Guy James is the producer, the director, the writer, the musical coordinator. He is all of the above. We should, in some way, in small way possible, to contribute to the Guy James show, because the equipment that he is using is also paid for by Guy James, in order to bring out the truth to all of you who are listening. So I plead with you now, whatever you feel that Guy James is worth, you can contribute to the www.theguyjamesshow.com. There's also the snail mail at 12870 Tradeway 4, number 108, Bonita Springs, Florida, 34135. $5, $10, $20, whatever you feel Guy James is worth, not by salary, but just by being on the air, we would appreciate your support. Because there are people on the that are listening right now that are, these emails are astounding. And the way you can show your support is by in some small way contributing to it. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. I guess so. You have a completely unbiased opinion of the whole thing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much for your kind words. I do appreciate all the email we get. We get some wonderful email, along with some that's not so wonderful, from people on the other side of the fence. And that's okay. I guess we invite that. We want to hear what you think, yay or nay. And if you have any suggestions for the program, and I know I'm opening myself up or when I ask for that, but if you have any suggestions for anything you'd like to see or hear on the program, why, let us know. We'll be happy to consider it. Always looking to endeavoring to make the show better every day if we can. Many great guests on the lineup. We had a great one for you today, one of the best. And when we had Sholene on last week, I got so many email about that wonderful woman and the book she wrote and all that. We'll be talking about that again in the near future. But I found that particular interview to be just, just blew me away. The whole situation with Sholene most certainly did. I don't know. I think we've about said it all today. I don't have a whole lot more I can say today. You can send us an email, guyjames@theguyjamesshow.com. And again, if you do, I hope you will let us know where you're listening and how you're listening. We like to keep track of the podcast and the archives from the wonderful service over at WhiteRoseSociety.org by Ben Birch. And we are a member of the ORN Network with Bob Kincaid through Ben Birch and WhiteRoseSociety.org, and they bring you some good programming over there. And I know a lot of people listen to it, and a lot of people appreciate it. So do what you can. We certainly hope you will. I want to remind you, as I always do, you've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. Hey, we'll talk to you again tomorrow. You can bet on that. And have yourself a great evening. I plan to.
Mistakes we repeat. What we sow is what we reap.